Good morning, church. I know Georgia lost, but Jesus is still king, and the sun came up, and Alabama cheats anyway, right? Yeah, whatever. Get it out of your system. Oh, hey, I just want to give a quick welcome to you. If you're here visiting with us this morning, it's an honor to have you here. Kick the tires. Hang out with us as long as you need to. If you're watching online, we love you too. Please don't feel separated from us. We are there with you. The Bible says that God is everywhere all at once, and he's there with you now. And before we bring up our guest, I just want to do something real quick. And I think we don't honor a certain group of people enough. And that one particular group today is those men and women who serve us in the U.S. military and take good care of us. And it comes home today for us. Because I would, real quick, would you mind me? I didn't tell her I was going to do this. Can you stand for me, Amanda? You won't see her online, but this is Amanda McDonald. She is the U.S. Air Force's one of the newest second lieutenants in the U.S. Armed Forces. She just completed OCS, which is the, I guess, their verbiage, or I don't know what the Air Force verbiage is. Basically, she's now an officer, so she outranks all of us. So thank you. I'm proud of you. She's been gone for weeks. Her and her husband, Frank, own Sixpence Kitchen, which does the wood-burning stove pizza. And he held down the fort while she was gone, kept four kids. Four, right? Yeah, I was counting in my head. Four kids all fed and clothed and taken care of, well, partially, right? Anyway, we're proud of you, and it's great to have you back. So if you see her, congratulate her, and to the rest of you service, thank you very much. Amen? Amen. Well, if you would, yeah, give her a hand. Go ahead. If you would, one more time. I know we're doing a lot of clapping this morning, but I'm going to ask Mr. Dan Olerking to come join us. If you'll give him a Believer's Church welcome. You may not know who this big bearded fella is, but he's kind of, we can sit down.
All right.
He may need to bring us down a little bit so we don't ring. And we're going to sit down today, we're today are going to talk about how we walk out what is Believer's Church. Most of you know, if you've been here for very long before, you've seen the squares out front. We say, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And we're going to talk about one of the ways that it just that is an international outreach for what we do here locally. Dan does internationally, and it was so cool to be connected with him. He does really wears two hats, and the first one he wears is with the organization you've heard me talk about before called the ARC, the Association of Related Churches. I guess your technical title is pastoral relation or some kind. I don't want to show you this verse first. This is where we're going. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it'll be back there, so you don't turn around. And it says, and you'll be my witnesses telling people somewhere, one or two places. No, it says everywhere. And I think sometimes in small communities like ours, we get stuck within ourselves, and we don't think about the world is bigger than us. The world is a big world out there. And that God holds us and asks us to minister to that part of the world just as much as he does here. And this is how we walk out, make a difference. We do it by starting, most of you have heard too, in the next verse I want to show you. This is out of James 2:16, which we use for our Project 2:16, which just a few weeks ago we took up our annual offering for that. But I love what this says. This is out of the Message version. It says, hey, you come upon somebody who's in rags, half-starved. You say, good morning, be clothed and well-fed, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't do anything for them. He goes on to say, where does that get you? Well, look what the next part of the verse says. It says, isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts? We do a lot of talking, but if we don't act, then we're just flapping our gums. And people like Children's Cup, organization like Children's Cup, which we'll talk about in a second, gives us the opportunity to put actions with our talk internationally and outside of here. And it's an extension of Project 2:16. About 9 years ago, I think that's what we determined when we talked, About 9 years ago, Mel and I were really looking for pastoral relationships, some peers that we could do life with and talk about life and as a pastor. And through some other friends, we ended up at ARC. And then, I don't know if you know this or not, but that first year we were in Jacksonville, we went to an ARC conference. His wife, Vicky, works for ARC as well, and she made us feel like VIPs. You know, we got bands to be able to get to special places and meet, you know, the cool people. And it was, and here we were, we're an ARC partner. And what that means is we strive every year to give about 2% of our budget, our tithe, to ARC to plant churches. And I'm going to let Dan talk about it, but we have been a part of something in several hundred churches since 2011.
We've planted 911 churches, and you guys have been a part of more than half of those. Way more than half. I think you're like 700 of them you've been a part of.
So I want us to be aware, hey, this is bigger than just Sylvania. You know, that's, let's say, a minimum of 400 churches, that life-giving churches somewhere in this country and really all over the world now that we have a part in, that we support. And that's what I like about ARC. Can you bring this down a little bit? I'm humming up here. But his other hat, and the reason really he's here today, I told him he was kind of a unicorn, that he could come here and help us, and I wanted you guys to really see and understand, and if you have any questions about ARC, he can answer those. But also about Children's Cup. He's the executive director of Children's Cup, who we partner with, you've heard us talk about now for many years, in Honduras at the Care Point in Tegucigalpa. It's in, actually, Sotoguata is where it actually is. We not only serve that care point, but you guys as a church, I think when you add them all together, we sponsor, believer sponsors like 20-something kids, maybe 20 kids. And so that's what we're doing. And I've asked Dan come. We're just going to have a conversation today. We're still going to share the gospel, talk about Jesus. But I want us to understand, if you're watching online, you to understand a little bit about Children's Cup, where it came from. And we're just going to have a conversation about putting God actions with our God talk. Okay? All right. Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about, kind of, if you didn't know what Children's Cup was and you were just starting cold, how do you explain it?
Well, let me just remind you what he just said with Acts 1:8, I think is really important for you to remember, is when you put something in the offering here, tithes and offerings, you're not paying the pastor. You know, it takes care of all of the things that happen, the Project 216 and what you may not get to see. You can see Project 216. Get out and serve on a Saturday. You can see it in action. But what you don't see is those 911 churches that have been planted that are reaching people. There are people going to be in heaven because you put something in the offering here and enabled a pastor couple to plant a church in Maine. Amen. Adam and Tanya Harold planted a church in Portland, Maine. You don't, anybody ever been to Maine? Okay, well, there you go. I've been there a couple times. It's cool. It's cold, but it's cool. But there are people going to heaven today because you guys put something in the offering to help plant that church. That matters. That makes a difference. So that's your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. You just got to know that when you put something in the offering here, it's not just for Sylvania. That's important, too. I've seen churches that forget about home, and they're all about everywhere else. You guys are doing both, and I think that's commendable. That's your leadership. That's your heart. And Children's Cup is part of that equation for you guys, too, where it's the uttermost parts of the earth. It's Swaziland, or actually it's called Eswatini now. We have a lot of stuff we do in Southern Africa. And then Latin America, where you guys are connected with us. We're in four countries there. Children's Cup was started. My family started Children's Cup almost 30 years ago. It was just the idea, hey, if we could feed 300 or 400 kids and tell them about Jesus, that'd be amazing. And it was. That was a big dream at the time. For our family to say, yeah, we could do that. So mom and dad put it all on credit cards and started this ministry with that dream to feed them and tell them about Jesus. They said, hey, feeding them's great, but we got to tell them about Jesus too. And so now today, almost 30 years later, it's about 12,000 kids that we're feeding and telling them about Jesus. And Amen. Some of those, a lot of those kids are sponsored, and a lot of those kids in this one care point, Sotoguara in Honduras, you guys sponsor. And that, it's again, it's not just, we don't take the money that you give as sponsors and hand it to the kids. That'd be crazy. What we do is we say, we're going to make sure they're taken care of body, mind, and spirit, and they're told about Jesus. These kids will get to grow up in a life-giving local church. They're gonna have a church like this, not like this. This is Sylvania. That's Sotaguara. But they're gonna have a life-giving church to grow up in.
I think they have a picture of the. Can you throw up the care point? Yeah.
There you go. Sotaguara.
That is the care point we sponsor.
That's you in the blue on the left.
That's me on the left.
That's,
yeah.
I could tell those shoulders.
No, I'm the big guy in the middle, Mr. Torres. That's me. He's right back there. That's muscle head right there.
it's one of those things where you're making a difference in a place that some of you have never gone, some of you have gone, obviously, but that difference that you get to make. This is what if there's like three or four things I'd love to have you remember that I say today, but one would just be the idea that when we get to heaven, there's going to be people there who come and tell you, hey, you don't know why I'm here, but let me tell you why I'm here. And it's because you made a difference. You went. You sponsored me when I was a kid. Those kids that you sponsor, they're going to grow up and change their world from the inside out. Only so many of us can go. I mean, you're all allowed to go, but only so many of us will be able to go. But those kids that we impact through sponsorship or through the short-term trips and the church that we help them have, they're going to grow up and change their world from the inside out.
Right. Explain a little, just so everybody knows. I know if you sponsor kids, you know this, but what that process at that care point looks like, the feeding center through sponsorship, you know, yeah. And kind of how that process
so
works.
Right now it's a little different because COVID-19 stopped us from all the kids being able to come to the care point. This is actually starting to come back a little bit now, but normally what it is every day the kids will come and they'll get a free meal. They'll be loved on. They'll be told about Jesus. We, like I said, body, mind, and spirit. So we're taking care of their body. We do medical checkups with them all the time. And if there's any challenges there, we make sure to get them to a clinic and take care of that. The mental part of it, I'm really excited. Honduras is one of the countries we're starting this program called. It's laptops at the care points, which sounds crazy. You're like, man, we don't even have that here. I wish I had a laptop. Well, what we have is where this program we're starting is to help them with their school. These laptops are tied into the school system. And so these kids will be able to come to the care point and get tutoring and get help. So we're helping them mentally, and then spiritually we're helping them. All of this happens at a care point, like the picture you see. It happens there. We have facilitators that are believers in Christ, and they're helping those kids. Every chance they get, they're telling them about Jesus. If we're teaching a kid how to read, guess what we're showing them how to read? A Bible storybook. You know, every chance we get, we're talking about Jesus. And that's what the care point. So the $39 a month that a sponsorship costs, that's what we're that money goes to making sure that facilitator has what she needs to be able to help these kids. It covers the food, it covers the cooking, it covers all of that, all those programs. That's what it goes to cover. And there's, I don't know.
But all the kids get fed though, right?
All the kids. Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably about 100, 120 kids that come regularly to the Sotaguara Care Point. But we don't turn a kid away because they're not registered. So if a kid from the community comes, they're going to get fed too. So they're going to get in on this stuff. So it really helps the entire community. You have this one-on-one relationship with the child that you sponsor. You can write letters, which I want to talk about that in a little bit. But the exchange you have is a personal exchange, but you're actually helping the entire community of kids.
Right. I think we have a couple. Can you throw up some of the pictures with the single? Well, there's the feeding.
There you go.
That's one of our team's feeding.
Yeah.
All of these kids, it's crazy because I know them all personally now, and I remember each one of them. Go back to that one real quick. Back up one. That's a water tank that you guys helped fund and pay for to put up there. Hmm. They did not have full running water until that was the first team, wasn't it, Mel? Or the second? The second team, I think. Melanie's second trip. Put that up there. And then you have, here's what Larry was talking, Dan was talking about. They have kind of the gray beard thing going.
It's a good beard.
And these are kids that, I know Larry's been a couple times, and they have a relationship with him. He's sitting right there now. He can think of, you know, the relationship with these kids. You can go through some of these other ones. That is actually one of our sponsored kids right there. I think that's Chris and Madeline's, who, by the way, they're watching at home, have a brand new baby.
Congratulations, guys.
That's their little guy. But these are the relationships that Dan was talking about. Here's the meals that they get every day. I'm sorry, 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And they go and get, but none are turned away. So the Children's Cup term is they get registered, they get cleared for sponsorship, mm-hmm. and then what sponsorship actually looks like.
So, yeah, the kids that come regular, what we don't want to do is say, hey, yeah, sponsor this kid, and then the kid only comes once a year. That we're not reaching that kid yet enough to be able to say, yeah, let's include. So we're going to always continue to welcome that child. But the kids that come regularly, we go ahead at when we feel like we've got an opportunity to get them sponsored, we'll register them. And that's what the cards out on the back you'll see, and there's a website you can go to. But all these kids are kids that have come regularly. They're faithful, being a part of things. They're in the program. We're basically, other than them having a sponsor, everything's happening for them. So you're not changing it from they're getting, you know, now I sponsor him, so now this little kid gets fed. We're already doing that. We're feeding them. But we can't keep doing that without the sponsors, because what we've been blessed by donors who say, hey, we want to front the money to get this CarePoint going. And so what you guys, when you sponsor a kid, what happens is you pick up that cost of taking care of that kid. And the cool part with this is that you get to write letters. And like you've seen, you can go visit your sponsored child. That's a life-changing experience. You've done it. You know, you got a cool beard. And you've lived full life. Cool beard, met your sponsored kid. That's the only two things you really need. But it is a life-changing experience for you and for the kid. For this child to meet somebody who cares enough about them to write letters back and forth and to give out of your own paycheck, that's a big thing. These kids understand that this is a big thing, and it changes their life to meet their sponsor kid. It also changes them when they get a letter from you. So sponsoring a child is not just about, hey, I got to send money to this. It's another bill to pay. No, that is so much bigger than that. There is the opportunity for you to pray for this child, to get to know through writing letters back and forth, and obviously you can go visit. But the letter writing is an opportunity for you. And this is one of the biggest things I think what I'm so excited about Children's Cup right now about is that it's a chance for you to experience God using you supernaturally. I've seen letters where kids will say, hey, my mom is sick. And they're terrified because if their mom dies, they're already a single orphan. If their mom dies, now they don't know how they're going to be taken care of. So when they send a letter and they say, hey, would you pray for my mom? She's sick. And then the sponsor writes a letter back with maybe a prayer in the letter. You know, you may not be somebody like, I'm going to go help at Project 216 and pray for people, or I don't know if I can do that. You know, you know what? You can write a prayer in a letter. You know how to pray. Say, Jesus, please heal this child's grandma or whatever. You write the letter, you pray. And then when you get a letter back that says, when this kid is excited and says, my mom's better, thank you for praying, it seems so simple. But it's a faith-building thing for that child, and God has used you to minister to somebody. I think that is part of our journey. When you talk about right. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference, this is part of that journey, is to say, God, I need to feel you use me. And it's more than just giving the money. It's the writing letters back and forth. And you can encourage and bring Jesus to a child through a letter or through a visit.
Right. One of the other things that I don't know that you guys see as much, but one of the reasons that we got excited about Children's Cup is because they're very clear in telling us, hey, we just don't want you to come on a missions trip. You know, they don't squeeze us for sponsors and then, you know, get a lot of ministries, sadly, do. They just get what they can get out of you and move on to the next thing. But Children's Cup heart is to actually help grow here, help us bless Sylvania. Yeah. Will you kind of explain that? You're going to explain that better than that methodology of, hey, we want to take you on a missions trip, but we're also going to make Believers Church better.
Well, I believe this is why I think working for ARC and helping plant churches and working for Children's Cup and what we do, it goes hand in hand, because to me, the way I believe, the way I see the world is a life-giving church. That's the hope of the world.
Amen.
Jesus is the hope of the world, but the way he expresses that is through life-giving churches. That's what this is. To me, the hope for Sylvania is churches like this. The hope for Sotoguara is a life-giving church in that community, or life-giving churches. It's not just one. We need multiple. We need more life-giving churches in Sylvania. We need more Amen. Life-giving churches where I'm from, in just north of San Francisco. We need life-giving churches everywhere. And so that is the point of it. And so it's not just starting a church. Like my friends up in Maine that started a church, it's not just let's start a church and then we're good. No, that needs to be a healthy, life-giving church. So if I can find a way for Children's Cup to help a church be healthy and life-giving here in the U.S., that's a win. I mean, God recognizes country borders. I think he understands. He's not unaware. But he doesn't really see much difference. You know, when he sees a little kid, this little kid here, Justin Martinez, that's how we'd say it here, is probably Justin Martinez. God sees that kid and he sees me. He doesn't see much difference. I mean, he does, because he knows what he's put on my life and what he's put in my plate and what he's put in Justin's plate. But he doesn't love Justin less than me. He doesn't love Justin more than me. He just wants us to do what he's created us to do to help people get to heaven.
Right.
And that's why I believe Children's Cup has to, we have an assignment to help the church in the U.S. just like we do to help the churches in Honduras and everywhere else.
Right. No, I want him to explain this card he's got here.
Sorry, I keep pointing to it. Yeah, nobody knows what I'm pointing to. It's a table.
But these will be in the foyer. And as always, I don't ask for money. We do our offering at the end the way we do it, because if we all do what God's asked us to do, then the church will be fully funded. But I do ask that you prayerfully consider, if you've thought about two things. You want to sponsor a kid. I think there's 24 or 5 out here on there. 40-something? Oh, all of them are here. Okay. And there's two ways. Let me show you this real quick. If you're watching online, it's down there, I believe. Is that right? Help me out in the back. They're telling me I'm right. It's over there. Okay. There's a QR code down here, and then they're going to throw the QR code back there. And anybody in the room, if you take out your camera right now on your smartphone and you just point it at that, it will take you to the sponsorship page that we set up with Children's Cup. And it shows the kids that are available for sponsorship.
And they're all at the one care point, Sotaguara. Yeah, so when you go visit, you're going to go on a team trip. All the kids that are available to sponsor today, they're right. All at that same care point.
So what I'm just asking you to do is just pray about it. A lot of you already have. Thank you. We've got people outside the church, actually, that sponsor kids. And it's an incredible thing to be able to say, hey, you may never meet so-and-so, but you need to know they love you. And we can get to express it when we go. So these cards right there, it's got a QR code on it you scan. And if you wanted to sponsor today, Dan's going to be out back afterwards. And we take them stuff. Like, we would normally be going in November, in a couple weeks. I think we're the only group that I'm aware of in Honduras that does an all-men's trip in November. And matter of fact, they didn't really think it was going to work, taking all men. But it's turned out to be one of our best trips, because the men showing up to this community with a lot of these kids who don't have fathers, who their fathers are absent. If they know who they are, they're off working. A lot of them fathers joined the caravan and came to trying to get to the United States, so they just left family there. And we, this group of men, 8 or 10 guys shows up. And a lot of those guys are here today. They've been on those trips, and I know some are watching online. But it's amazing to go and show up with a bunch of men and just show that love to these kids. But also, we have scheduled on the book, it's the second or third week in June. And we didn't put the dates up because I didn't want to focus on that today. But if you want to go in June, we're on the books to go back to Honduras for 5 days. We do our best to make it affordable. But another big part of this with Children's Cup is we actually get to go see your sponsor kids. And if you're able to go, you get to go see and spend time with them. And the kids spend a lot of time with their people when they come. And they, as you show some of the pictures that were behind us, you can switch to some of those other ones, those previous pictures. There's one of Buddy, Buddy Bell. I think he's on there. Is he not on there? I didn't put it on there. Go back to Larry then, that's fine. We'll deal with Larry.
Larry's okay.
There's Larry. But you get to spend time with your kids and sponsor them. And again, they're already being fed. We're just picking up the baton that Children's Cup's already picked up. And so that will be happening in June. But again, if you hold, I see people getting out cell phones. Throw the QR code back up there. If you point your cell phone at that, it will take you to, it should anyway. If it doesn't work, it's not my fault. if you're watching online, you can point it at your screen or do it down there, and it'll take you. So you can actually go look and see these kids that need to be sponsored.
Can I say this too? One of the things that you guys have done too is help with Christmas parties. In the past, without COVID-19 in the mix, we throw a big, huge Christmas party, and kids are doing slip and slides, and they're all on top of each other, and just it's a blast. These are kids. They're just kids, but we couldn't do that this year with COVID-19. So what we're doing this year?
I think those videos. I think if you look on our website, our Facebook page,
party.
And scroll back, the party video is on there. We were actually there last year.
Yeah.
Our men's group was actually there for that party, group, and God was good to me because I was sick as a dog.
So we didn't let you get on the slip and slide, huh?
No, I didn't get on the slip and slide. But we were actually there, and we got to see this Christmas party.
Yeah, so with COVID-19, though, what we've had to do, like we had to change how we feed the kids, we've also had to change how we do these Christmas parties. So this year, I'm so excited about it because I feel like the ministry level is going to go up even more. And you guys have taken care of the cost of the Christmas party for Sauter Guada.
They don't know that yet.
You don't know that yet. I'm sorry. Surprise. but it's what we're doing is we're going to go to their homes. Okay, we've been doing that. To be able to keep feeding the kids, we've been delivering food to their homes. But it's literally like take a car and a trunk and you serve food, just like hit a door and go, and it's, every one of our kids is getting fed. But now what we're doing with Christmas is we're doing Christmas in a box. And it's a container that's a usable, like a big Rubbermaid container that they get to have. But then there's, you know, groceries in there. There's festive stuff, like in a lot of Latin American countries are doing piñatas. There's stuff for the kids. There's either a Bible or a Bible storybook, or we've got some Bible comic books in Spanish that they're going to have. So there's scripture. There's everything that they would make for a festive Christmas for them. We're taking it to their homes, and the teams are going to visit. You remember old school? I don't know if you guys do this. I'm going to say old school because I've done it in a long time. But where you went and knocked on the door of people who came and visited the church,
right,
and sit down and pray with them and hope that the tea
that
they
serve you. See, we now promise people that we're not going to do that.
That's what you say we're not doing. Well, I'll tell you what, we're doing this in Honduras. And the team is so excited because the opportunity to sit down with a family and pray with them, social distance, whatever it needs to be, but to have a few minutes to pray with this family. We're not just going to reach the kids. We're reaching their homes now directly as a result of the way we're getting to do Christmas this year. So we're still reaching the kids now with delivering food to their homes, but now with Christmas, it's going to be taking Christmas to them and spending some time. So
right.
Very
well,
cool.
Since you stole my thunder.
Sorry, my bad.
No, what we're going to do is, I was talking with Dan about it, and the cost of getting every kid at the Care Point, is my understanding, a Christmas box is about $1,800. And I told him that we as a church are going to cover that this year, so that I just felt like we need to make sure every one of those children knows that God loves them. They know that somebody cares, and that it's just, to me, another way to impact life. So we've been putting some funds aside to be able to cover that. If you wanted to give toward that, we'd be just mark it on your offering. We'd be more than happy to send that along as well. But I just felt like we need to make sure that these kids receive that, because life for them changed too.
Yeah.
A lot of these communities, and we actually have kids. I was thinking this earlier. My sponsor kid is not at Sauter Guada. They're in one of the other ones. We've got a couple that are at Nueva Ciapa, which is another. But we've got kids all over that are scattered out, and their lives centered around these feeding centers, these care points. And that's where they went every day. And it's not happening the same way now. Like you said, they're rolling up in cars and handing out meals that way. So they're not getting the contact. And so I felt like we need to make sure that these kids, as well there in Honduras, feel loved.
Yeah.
And again, this is why we do this. We started here. The Bible says through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I was asked the question, well, what about people here? Well, we started here with Project 216, with the serve teams and everything we do here, and we've expanded our way out because it is very important that we do here. But I felt like that we needed to make sure these kids were taken care of and at this care point. And so we're going to be doing that. You're going to be doing that. Your generosity allows us to be able to do that and sponsor that Christmas party. There was something else I was going to ask you. This is why I make notes.
Let me throw one thing in here too with these kids. You know, I love that you guys have taken this care point on, and you pray for this care point. You have kids that you sponsor here. These kids, like I said before, these kids are they're going to grow up. We were looking at, you know, he's showing me the kids space over here, which direction I'm pointing over there. And just, we were talking about, you know, the kids grow up. You know, you have a full room here, and then these kids grow up and they move to another room, or they get in a different age bracket. How many of you have kids in here? They grow up, right? And I've got a one-year-old grandson. He's going to be two next month, and he's growing up. And I'm like, just slow down. Just stay right here. My daughter's like, no, let him grow up. I want to get past the twos. But they grow up. And these kids, what we want to see is them not just grow up, but we want to see them grow up to change the world from the inside out. They are the ones that can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. We can help, but we're going to help these kids do that. But right now, when the kids come to the care point, this I don't know if you've had this kind of conversation with the kids, but I love asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. And I've had this happen where about a 10, 11-year-old girl, I asked her that question, and it was in English. English was not a problem for her, but she looked at me like I was asking her to conjugate a Greek verb. It was just, what are you talking about? What do I want to be when I grow up? And there are some places we serve where there's not even a word for future in their language, because that's just not a thought. It is surviving today. And so the kids, they're not thinking, you ask any American kid just about what do you want to be when you grow up, they're going to say, I want to be a nuclear physicist, or I want to be a farmer, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a pastor, whatever. But there's so many kids there, they just don't have that thought. After the kid's been coming a little while, you can tell when you ask a kid the same question, how long they've been there, they say, well, if I grow up, I want to be a teacher. And I had one girl ask me that, or I asked her that, and she said, if I grow up, I want to be a teacher. And I thought, oh, cool, be a teacher. That's great. And then it dawned on me. She said, if. I thought, okay, we're making progress, because she's thinking about the potential of a future, but she's still not convinced there is a future. But after a while, when the kids have been there for long enough, we've injected hope. We say it this way: we're giving hope, we're inspiring dreams, and we're changing worlds. Give them hope. That's where it's got to start. Hope comes in the form of a meal. It comes in the form of a hug. It comes in the form of just listening to them and telling them about Jesus. And then we inspire them to dream, to give them a chance to dream. So many kids don't have a dream in these countries where we serve. But then as they dream, what happens is those dreams, they want to be world changers. And we're changing the world by equipping future world changers. So there you go.
Right. No, and that is exactly why I felt like as a church kind of linked arms with Children's Cup, because what he just said is in different verbiage, but it's exactly what we believe here. That's why Project 216 does what it does, because if the kid's hungry, they can't learn. If the kid's hungry, they feel like nobody cares. If the kid's hungry, they're not looking for the future. They're looking for, where am I going to get fed today? So a simple bag of food that Project 216 does, or putting clothes or boots or shoes. We had a case here where a young child, I believe it was a young girl, had never had her own mirror to dress herself in. And so Project 216 went and bought her just a full-length mirror so she could groom herself, and it was life-changing. The same thing happens in Honduras, and really happens all over the world, wherever Children's Cup is, but we're kind of focused in on Honduras. I want to encourage you in something as we kind of close here in a second. When we're done, Dan's going to be out in the back. We'll have a table out back with these cards. Melanie will be out there with him helping that. If you just have questions, if you want to know how the whole sponsorship thing works in more detail, he can answer questions. But if you would, just for a second, I want to, guys, if you can throw back up that scripture, and James, the second part of James 2:16, where it talks about the God talk and the God actions, the second part. I think a lot of time in church, a lot of time as Christians, we do a lot of talking, even in our lives. Anybody ever talked a good game and then never followed through? Oh, come on, I'm the only one? Yeah. I'm going to give you a good example. How many of you January 1 this year made a commitment to lose weight and exercise? And how many of you have actually done it? Very, very few of us, right? It's good talk, but there's little action. So two things. For those of you maybe watching online or in the room, and you think, I don't really know what you're talking about, Clint, you need to know this. There's the God that's still alive today. He's always been alive. And he sent his son Jesus to talk to you, to tell you that you're loved, you're cared for, you're wanted. He came and died for you. And you need to know that. Yeah. You have value. The same value that we place on reaching these kids in Honduras, we place on you and your lives, you watching at home. And as the ushers, why don't you guys go ahead and y'all can change the lights for me. You need to know this, that you're valued. We care about you. We love you. We don't care what color you are, what you're wearing, what got you here, what mess you're in, what drug you did last night. Somebody laughed at me a few weeks ago because they said, Clint, I couldn't come Sunday morning because I was high and I had drugs in my pockets. And they were shocked when I said, bring them with you. Bring your drugs, bring all your mess, bring it all with you. They tell these kids the same thing at every care point they do. bring whatever it is, whatever mess you bring, we're going to feed you and love you. So we not only teach this here, I want you to see this, that I believe that the acts that you feel here is God talk, and I believe we're doing God actions. So for just a minute, if you would, if you close your eyes, bow your heads, and just, I never close the service, we've said this for years here, without offering you a chance to meet Jesus. So with eyes closed, heads bowed, just take a second. And if that's you this morning, you say, Clint, that's me. I need to know this God. There's something missing. And then right where you are, just wave at me. If you're online, shoot us a message down below. And it's just simply praying something like this. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get it right because you're going to help me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. And the Bible says when you pray something like that, your salvation, your eternity is secure. And God, we thank you for that today. Salvation and life comes today. Lives are changed today. In Jesus' name. Now, real quick, if you would, if everybody, look at me one more time. I want to be clear in something. I'm not asking you for money. I didn't have Dan come today so we could sponsor 50 more kids. If we sponsor 50 more kids, then praise God, let's make heaven crowded and take them with us, right? But what I am asking you to do is just simply pray. Either go on a trip with us, sponsor a child, get involved. Get involved with Project 216. Help, serve. Let's stop having so much God talk without God action. I think we do a lot, we do good, but I think we can do better. So all I'm asking you today is as you leave, maybe ask some questions, look at a card, scan the QR code. Can you guys throw that up again for me in the back? Scan this code. And then you can look over the kids. And what we did is we prayed. And we just asked God, hey, show us the kid. We sponsor a child. Her name is Stephanie. She lives in Nueva Ciapa, which is built on the side of a mountain. And we've been sponsoring her for 4 or 5 years now. And now when I show up, the little girl jumps on my back, hugs me like a family member. I don't tell you that. I'm not trying to pull on heartstrings. I don't believe in moving people by emotion. But I want you to understand there are real lives and real eternities. Amen? All I'm asking you to do is pray. You can hear God just like I can. And if God would have you sponsor or you want to go on a trip, ask us questions. Our next trip is in June. We couldn't go in November. And I believe that we're going to change the world starting here in Sylvania. And God's going to use little old Sylvania and Believers Church to reach our world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stay?